Magnus Haystick, the founder and chief investment director, strategist of Brenthurst Wealth, is with us to give us some update into the way he's seeing the world. And it was a very interesting couple of weeks that we've had, Magnus, seeing you at the BizNews conference and hearing your presentation. And it's going to be disclosed. I'm not going to take too much away from the keynote there, but just my thought generally was that I left the BizNews investment conference Thursday, 2 weeks ago, with quite an upbeat tone. It felt to me like the government of national unity, if it holds, will be very good news for South Africa, and that the electricity is now certainly on a better trajectory than it was in the past. What were your takeaways?
Yeah, good afternoon, Alex. I must agree with you. I must tell you, it was great to be back in that lovely town called Hermanus, which is now your hometown. And as I joked in my introduction, I think Hermanus must make you honoring mayor because you are attracting a lot of new faces into that town. And I spent 3 days in the middle of the town, and it was a very pleasant experience. But the mood was very, very positive amongst people, not only at the conference, but after the conference, the fireside chat, which was quite smart. I think that people realize or think that the country dodged a bullet in the sense that the government of national unity has turned out far better than we expected and much better than a possible ANC, EFF, MK alliance, which was bandied about before the election. And I think there was a palpable sense of relief, and you can see it already in the currency. And I'll get back to the currency in a sector, but also the stock market is up very, very nicely. And it's important to point out that the rally in our local equities, our mid-caps, our financials, our property stocks, been driven by local money, not foreign money. The foreign money is yet to come. So the mood is very positive. Interest rates have been cut. The rand is a bit stronger. And I think it's about time for South Africa to have a period of good fortune during which we can rebuild our balance sheets personally and as a country. Because if you look at the last 10 years, our balance sheets has been under severe pressure. And I think we need a period of optimism and good fortune, provided the GNU holds. And I think it's in the hands of the ANC and the DA to do the right things to keep it on a higher growth trajectory.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because at the conference itself, you were, I guess you brought a sense of realism, because up until that point of your pulling everything together at the end, it was very upbeat and very excited and let's go out and buy shares. And you said, but, you know, yes, I am feeling more positive, but hang on a minute. It doesn't mean that happy days are necessarily guaranteed.
Not at all. I mean, if you look at from an economic perspective, the damage that has been done to the economy, personal balance sheets, mood of the country is enormous. And it's going to take a while. And we're not talking weeks or months. We're talking years to rebuild those balance sheets in the form of better stock market performance, which filters through into personal balance sheets, better improvement from pension funds, and then also property values, which needs to recover for most people outside of the Western Cape. Because if you look at that, that's been, pardon me, that's been an immense disaster. And it's one of the reasons why there's a study quite recently by Virtual Capitalist that shows that in the last 10 years, South Africa was one of the countries with the slowest growth in wealth measured in dollar terms. In fact, it was almost lost. It was slightly positive over 10 years, but way down the fast-growing countries like Kazakhstan, believe it or not, China, and all the other countries, United States, Holland, etc. And we were still positive, but, you know, the the economy needs to rebuild balances, but more importantly, the individual investors need to rebuild. And let's hope that this is the start. We've seen it in the drop in interest rates. It's a beginning. But I think the real change will come, and that's what I'm watching as part of my job, is to look if are the foreigners buying our stocks? And unfortunately, not enough evidence yet to prove that it's going to be sustainable. We're still on a grey list. We're still downgraded. But if they come for South Africa, you will see it in the currency and also in the stock market.
I guess because we're so small. Magnus, we ran a very interesting story yesterday, which was based on the overlay that was sent to us from the government communication service of a very happy meeting between Elon Musk and Cyril Ramaphosa, where the two of them were, well, they didn't put the sound off completely. And Cyril said to Elon, thanks for coming up to my room and having a, you know, clearly they had a very happy conversation. We know that Starlink is something that could unleash a lot of energy in South Africa. If, let's say, Elon were to give South Africa the thumbs up, if he were to announce that Tesla or SpaceX or one of his operations were establishing a presence here, might that be the catalyst that could unleash the kind of recovery that we're all hoping for?
You know, it's quite fascinating to watch how Elon Musk has grown over the last couple of years in stature as a global businessman, capitalist, venture capitalist, and now almost as a semi, you know, influencer on the world stage. I mean, so that in itself is a phenomenal story where leaders of countries go to him and almost, you know, begging for his blessing. And I think if that happens and Elon comes out and says, guys, I'm doing a deal with South Africa, I'm investing in South Africa under these conditions, and I mean, that'll be quite startling, and the whole world will be forced to take notice and say, what is Elon seeing that we're not seeing? You know, that slogan that boxer of ours uses, wat weet hy, wat ons nie weet nie, or that kind of stuff. You might find a lot of people who have written off South Africa saying, guys, let's really look at, let's start chatting to people on the ground, and let's look at some opportunities that might be developing. But let me say again, there's a lot of work to be done. The damage has been immense. The railroads, the ports, the electricity has been seemingly fixed. One held sums, but now they want to push through fantastic high tariff increases. So let's not kid ourselves. The damage was enormous, and we now only prepare to get up and say how bad it was. And I see that Cuban Anaida from, who was now with Investec, said that 2 years ago we were literally standing, looking or peering into the abyss in terms of our financial trajectory. So whoever was warning about the route that we were taking, they were correct. We came very, very close to a debt default and a further tumble in our growth. But that has been averted, and let's hope and pray that this continues. So, you know, I, who for 12 years been telling people, you have to get your money out of the country ASAP, and that has generally turned out to be good advice. I am now saying there are opportunities in South Africa. The urgency to get money out, I think, has dissipated. There might be other reasons why you need to externalize, but the get out of Dodge kind of approach has fallen away for the time being. And we look at our local funds are doing exceptionally well, and long may it last.
We had a conversation yesterday with some friends where the point was made that the last big commodity boom up to 2008, South Africa did extraordinarily well because we had Eskom that was working and we had Transnet that was working. But the last two commodity booms subsequent to that have passed this country by, because Eskom was not working and you couldn't get the product to the ports. So I guess that penny finally has dropped. And once it does get fixed, it will position this country differently. But I wonder whether it's going to take too long to fix it to benefit for at least now. We do seem to be moving into an upward cycle on commodities, given that China are re-stimulating and so on.
Quite correct. You know, the points that you make are very valid. If you study the commodity cycle in South Africa, 2001 to 2008 was an immense commodity cycle. Then another one, a shorter one, I think it was 2011. We could not participate because we couldn't get enough stuff to the harbors and onto the boats and get them across while prices were very high. So we lost out very big time. Now you've got China announcing a major stimulus, and I noticed that you've been buying Anglo American, which is a smart move. So there might be a turnaround in the commodity cycle. The question is, will we benefit? Will we get enough coal, iron ore, manganese to the harbors? Because that's the infrastructure that needs to be fixed and fixed very fast. Otherwise, and booms don't last forever, we're going to miss another boom. And I think this is now in the hands of the government of national unity. It's theirs to lose. If they stuff it up, it will be it will not be a good state to be in. But it seems to be new energy has been injected into cabinet. The DA is shaking the tree in many, many areas, which is welcome news. And again, it's there for the taking. We can benefit from this.
Going back on another mega trend, there was a period in South Africa's recent history where anybody who was anyone wanted to invest in Africa. And that is slowly being unwound. We saw Tiger Brands losing famously R1 billion and then having to pull out of Nigeria. Nampak took a hiding as well. But today there was confirmation that the property companies Hyprop and Attack have now shed their assets, their shopping centers in Nigeria and Ghana. Do you think anybody's learnt anything from this where it's almost like a fashion? Let's go and do something, and everybody rushes in, and then come back with their tails between their legs, forget about it in a few years, and off they go and do it again.
You know, very few South African companies have managed to crack not only Africa, but, you know, the global market. I mean, we know about Woolworths, who lost a huge amount of money in Australia, and these South African companies who all went into Africa with great expectations, thinking they can replicate their business model from a so-called African country in the south into an African country in the north. And I think the odds were just stacked against them. I think you can put MTN into that as well. The culture, the language, the way they do business was just totally different. And, you know, I happened to at one stage know the CEO of Virgin Airlines in South Africa, who were trying to break into the Nigerian market. And he would, for instance, tell me that it's the business operates on a level or a pattern totally unknown to South African business people. For example, he would have to fly with a suitcase full of dollars every month to go and pay the people in cash because you couldn't trust the banking system. And then it becomes even Branson couldn't crack the Nigerian market, and they folded and left. And I think a lot of South African companies are not saying explicitly why they pulling back, but I think they came up against the same obstacles, different culture, different political setups, and it just didn't work.
Yeah, you got to be, when you're operating there, you've got to have your eyes wide open. Another bit of news that came out on the Stock Exchange News Service today was the repurchasing or cancellation, they call it, of New Gold's, or some of the New Gold gold and platinum debentures. Now, these are interesting vehicles because there was a time if you wanted to own gold, you had to go and buy Krugerrands. That was it. Put them in a safe and hope that nobody robbed you. But now you can use these New Gold paper or investments.
Yeah, the exchange-traded notes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. If they're canceling them, if they're buying them back, I guess it would be telling you that the demand for some of these debentures is now falling.
Well, you're buying gold now at a record high. I mean, this is nosebleed highs, $2,680. I didn't think we'd ever get there. I mean, you recall all the doomsdayers We're saying gold will go to 2,000, 2,500. Maybe the market is not that stupid. They know that it's had a tremendous rally. I mean, this year has been phenomenal for holders of physical gold or the derivatives of gold. And maybe they're holding back. You know, these things go in cycles. Maybe the buying has stopped. You know, as we all know, you make your profits when you buy an instrument, not when you sell it. And as usual, people are now rushing into us. Oh, we must buy gold. We must buy gold. I'm saying, I think we're too late. There are other cheaper assets to buy. And so that could be a sign that the market is coming to reaching a peak.
And are they coming in and asking you, we should buy a Bitcoin, given the run that it continues to have?
Alec, I have a sign in my desk that says, do not ask me about Bitcoin.
Okay, simple enough. Let's pass on and move on.
We have within the company, we've got, you know, a lot of our younger advisors. They like Bitcoin and they are recommending it to their clients. And if I do have a client who really wants to invest in Bitcoin, I will point them in the direction of one of our young guys, Aaron Rattenberg in Santon. And he will then, it's his decision based on the various analysis. But I cannot, with my heart and hand on my heart, recommend Bitcoin on any fundamental, scientific, or rational basis, which is linked to cycles or other indicators. I don't know why it's going up and down. And because of that, I cannot recommend product that I do not believe in. So I'm sorry, old school, I just cannot do it.
Let's close off with another thing from the conference. And we've actually replicated this in the BizNews portfolio today. Sean Pesch was explaining how the equal weighted S&P 500 exchange traded fund was outperforming the weighted. In other words, the one that allocates so much of its portfolio to the Magnificent Seven and others. And so I took it one step further, and we've added the Russell 2000 to the BizNews model portfolio today. Do you think that's a good call?
It's not a bad call, and the one that I've been looking at. You know, if you look at history, when interest rates start declining and it drops fast, like it seems like it's going to happen, it's the small caps, the mid caps that benefit the most. And we know that they've been lagging the mega caps and the Magnificent Seven. So underneath the market, there are different, you know, themes and trends and cycles. So that probably, from a valuation perspective, considering a soft landing in the U.S. and further drops in interest rates, the Russell 2000 is not a bad place to be, and it's a good place to reallocate. You must remember, and I think that's what investors fail to get, nothing in the investment world is static. And normally when the media starts bragging about the fantastic high returns achieved in the past, that's normally not the time to be rushing in. So I want to be part. It's not the time. It's normally the time to be selling, because the smart money has already left the party and they're looking for other places to invest. And that's why you need to stay updated. You've got to read and read more, like Charlie Munger does, or did when he was alive, and Warren Buffett. You got to anticipate future trends and following past. And this is a comment I made beginning of the year with you when the Rand was in 1950, when every single investment company in South Africa was promoting offshore. I made the point, it's on record. I said, guys, a little bit late to the party. A little bit late. It's done. And now we are. The Rand is at 1730. Fortunately, the offshore markets in dollar terms have continued to go up. But the big money's been made offshore. There are still some sectors that we like. We like India. We like Japan. But don't expect the same kind of returns, because now everybody's running around saying, you see, this is what you could have made. And I think that's too late. I think expect lower returns in rand terms from your offshore investments going forward. The guys who took their money out 10 years ago, they in a good space. Going out now, not so sure.
As Buffett always tells us and reminds us, be greedy when others are fearful, but be fearful when others are greedy. Magnus Haystack with Brenthurst Wealth. I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.